Sign Fall. Welcome, Couch Crunch Podcast. And got Nick here and me. And we're going to be pretty much reviewing. You know, got to stand clear because we're going to be spoiling this movie going forward. You know, pretty much going to be overall reviewing this. So, you know, initial thoughts. We, you know, going into this movie, did you know anything about this, the wrestler or the career or?
No, actually. Much about this? Yeah, I actually never knew anything about this because this is obviously way before our time, right? So I think that's probably going to be for starters. I'm not the biggest wrestling fan out there, especially with the WWE nowadays, you know what I mean? But I guess it was different when, you know, the WWE was, you know, before it was like, what was it? I think it was called National Wrestling Alliance. So that was way back in the day. So I didn't have no idea about this family in general. When I first took a notice into this film, the first thing I kind of noticed was it's just, you know, wrestling, family, and you know, obviously the studio company, which is obviously A24. So that's, you know, I feel like most people came to see that because it was A24.
Oh yeah. They're
just a massive kind of film industry, film production company. But but diving into this film, I mean, when we first start being engaging with these characters in general, the first thing to take away is your curiosity definitely goes skyrocketing. You know what I mean? Because it's like, what's going on in this film? You know, it's about wrestling. That's all we know. But there's more to it, right? So as we start to dabble into more deeper into the characters, I don't want to get too much in depth with each specific character, but I would say, you know, you can kind of tell the bondship that the brothers have between each other is a very sacred bondship.
Oh yeah.
You know, even with their father, who seems to, you know, that's kind of the first thing I took away from the film, seems to be a little hard on his kids. You know, not to talk bad about anybody that's, you know, that's not no longer here to defend themselves or anything like that. But it was a different time era back in the day where, you know, we don't have the privileges that we have today in today's society, right? Like our parents now, you know, kids growing up now, I guess you would say kind of in my generation or probably under, is a little more have free will, more to do what you want to do. Or, you know, you have parents who believe that you can do whatever, as long as you set your mind to something, you could do it. It wasn't like that back in the day, back in those times. Those times where you can have talent for something, you can, you know, put your mind into something and really enjoy it, but your parents would probably never see it because how the way they were raised, you know. So it was kind of hard, it was kind of hard for them to see, you know, what would life be like with them doing what they really wanted to do and not be, you know, not having to be in a set path where your parents already kind of drew, you know. It was rough back then. You know, I wouldn't know because obviously I'm in my late 20s, way too young to understand what that would be like back in the 70s and 80s, but it was a different time era. So that's kind of what we're kind of taken away from this film is kind of seeing the connection between the brothers, you know, having to, their father was kind of like the commander or the general, and they're the cadets, the privates, and, you know, having to take orders from their dad no matter how much they don't agree with his methods or his decisions or how much he's obsessed with the sport itself. You know, so I think that's something to take away from. But when we're first introduced into the movie, it's kind of like seeing, you know, it's kind of like seeing the dad, who is, I believe, what's his name? Fritz von Eldridge, if I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah, I believe so. So he was like way back in, I think, like what, the 30s maybe, I think. I'm not entire, not 30s, way back there, but probably like the 60s or the 50s, where he was actually trying to become like a world champion, right? So he wanted to be a world champion in the NWA. And I think he just, you know, because he had developed some like a really strong passion for this sport, I'm guessing like it didn't really take him too far enough, right? Because we started seeing some of his changes that he was making to his life, because he sees like, you know, he was taking risks, right? He bought a new car. He wanted to see more things for his family, right? He wanted to start like, you know, start spending and, you know, looking at things from a brighter angle, as we all get to do, like when we're actually, you know, doing good in whatever field that we start to do, right? Like that's something that I guess all, everybody does.
I believe he, the farthest he got in his career too, he says he won the world title at one point in 1963.
Yeah.
Around his era. So I think that's like the top, how that as far as he went in his career.
Right.
Until his sons took it over, like you were saying.
And it was rough, right? Like, I mean, he wanted to be the champ, and I guess he just didn't get that. He explains that later in the film, where it's like he didn't get to get to that point where his son did, you know? So I guess at some point, like, it just wasn't for him. And he rather had, it's like almost any vet in a sport that's been doing it for a while, like they probably were champs in their time period. But after a while, they just kind of gave it up and just was like, all right, so I still want to be involved somehow in this sport. Why not try to find a way to manage a team, right? To be a manager of a team or something. So that's what he did. He developed his own kind of gym, his own team, which is his sons. And, you know, he just really was like hammering down on them to make sure that they're always staying on point with their moves. You know, the mindset, you got to strategize your move sets. Like, he was really hard on them, man.
Oh, yeah.
And in particularly,
man,
like,
three, too. Like,
and particularly Kevin, right? Like, son. I feel like, and that's what, like, if for anybody who doesn't, who aren't familiar with, like, the family, I don't know too much about them myself. I just know, like, you know, obviously from the film and, you know, doing research online. You know, Kevin is probably the last one that's actually remaining from the brothers, the Eldridge brothers, if I'm saying that right. You know, through, what is it, two, three? Well, one actually died from, what was it, an eruption in his intestines. And I don't really know how you actually get that. I think, like, you know, it, due to the sport, I'm guessing, how many times he's got hit in the stomach. Like, I don't really know how that tends to develop, but, you know, that's an unfortunate tragedy, right?
Because one scene showed him like throwing up blood in the, like, at I believe Kevin's wedding. At one point, he was like throwing up. This is horrible. It's pretty much describing like the eruption starting to happen before he went to Japan, and it unfortunately finished them from there.
I thought it was Curry that was when Kevin actually was done he was having the, what was it, after party or something like that after he got married. I thought it was Curry, because, you know, we started seeing Curry taking shots of heroin, you know what I mean? Right. So we started seeing that, and I thought that was actually him throwing up. But then when we actually seen it was David, I was like, oh shit, this is different. Like, and it's a shame, man, because again, like, I think what was really hard for it, like, each of the brothers, man, it was like, they just wanted to be the favorite. I don't even like, I think they had passion for the sport. I just think like they wanted to be dad's favorite. You know, because I think that was like a real important kind of psychological thing that was going on within the family. Because as we seen in the beginning of the film, we see like them sitting at the breakfast table, and breakfast table, at the dinner table, and they're eating breakfast. And you can kind of tell, like, the father himself was, like, trying to, like, be hard on Mike, which is the younger brother, wanting to be, like, you know, to let him know, like, what do you want to do with your career? You really need to start thinking about joining the wrestling, you know, and the NWA. So it's like, you know, and then after he said that, it was kind of like, well, we all know who his favorite is. I think he said Curry was his favorite, or I think it was David. It was one of those two. But, you know, I think it bothered Kevin the most, because Kevin was always kind of like hard on himself, man. Like, you know, pushing beyond his limits. You know, even if he decided, like, even if he lost, he still was going to keep doing the sport no matter what. Like, he was determined, man. He was determined to keep pushing. And I think,
at one point, it seemed like Kevin, every time he would get to a pinnacle point, like, he would win a belt, but then he'd get lowballed by, like, one of his brothers would, like, take the mic and be like, take the spotlight from him. And it would kind of, his father would look down on him because of, you know, scenes like that. It's like, damn, it's like every time he reaches to the top, one of his brothers come along and, like,
it was never good enough, right? Like, this is what the movie was, because, like, it's mostly centered around the brothers, but it's telling it from his angle because he's obviously the last one remaining that's still alive today. But it's mostly told by his angle too, because he was the one that was always overshadowed by all of them, really. Yeah. And, you know, I think he was the most determined out of all of them. I think David too, at the same time, I think David was neck and neck with him, but I really think like it was mostly like this sport was built for Dave, like Kevin, you know what I mean? Like it, like he really wanted to be the one, and I felt like he was going to be the one, but because of all the unfortunate circumstances of his brothers committing suicide and that death, you know, I can't imagine what the pain this man had to endure. You know what I mean? And it's rough, but you know what I loved about the film in general, it's just the connection, like seeing these young boys. You know what I mean? Because they were young, man. Like they were. Some of, I think Kevin was like, well, because like you've seen some of like, you know, Bart, like it kept going fast forwarding, right? Like it was jumping chapters because he was, and I think when the movie first started, he was still like in his early 20s. I mean, late 20s maybe, because it fast forward to like when he was in his 40s, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I don't know.
I kind of interpreted it. Like when it first started, but I'm not sure if they're like college age or if like they're late teens.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's like there was no way to determine, right? But that was the same thing that I mean, that's what really I took away from it, was kind of seeing like them kind of the evolution between them going through stuff and then kind of accomplishing what they went through. You know what I mean?
Right. And even like, it didn't really go too deep into it, but like it started off rough because like the oldest brother that never really got to make it past, I forget the age he was when he passed.
He was like six. Yeah.
Yeah. He died because he drowned, unfortunately. And yeah, like that was like the story kind of starts off saying like their name of Eric, the Erics, is like a curse to the family lineage. And
I didn't get that though. They don't really explain that. Why? Well, I think they explained it a little bit where Kevin was kind of explaining it to his wife. And I think it was like, it was a name kind of given. Well, it was a name that he took as a stage name, right? The father.
Yeah,
so the dad took it as a stage name, and I think after that it was kind of like, it was a name that was like already had like some sort of tainted, I don't know, some type of curse that was on it. I don't know. And it was like, it was a known kind of like a local superstition, you know what I mean? That everybody was kind of, you know, saying like, yo, that family's kind of like cursed or whatever the case is, and they never believed in it.
Right.
And then they started to notice things were just going downhill, like, yep. you know, and I am a stickler for actually believing in that stuff. Like, I do believe in that. But in this sense, like, I feel like it happened mostly. Everything that mostly just happened was because they were pushed too much. I'm not going to sit here and say that it was all the dad's fault. You know what I mean? Like, it was a couple of factors in there, but
yeah. I feel think like, a big play the industry of wrestling at that time. Yeah. It's just like, really
right. Cause they weren't the only ones that did stuff like that before.
It was like a real known thing. It's like, it's just like the 80s, like a lot of people did drugs around that time. It was like the crack era, and a lot of heroin would be tossed around in the industry behind the scenes, and like cocaine, or that, just the rock star lifestyle. And unfortunately, you get mixed up in that and you overdo it.
Yeah.
And some of the brothers seem to got caught up in that lifestyle, unfortunately.
What did you thought? I mean, I'm still gonna get more into like what I gotta think, but like, go ahead. I kinda wanna know what you're thinking.
Yeah, it was like a very surreal piece of like wrestling, because when I first initially went into the movie, I didn't really know too much about the characters or anything. Like, I just know it was like a biography kind of film based on real people, but outside of that, I didn't really know too much about the people until I started reading more into it and seeing that, as we were saying, like, the brothers would pass away one by one as they was going on in their careers. I'm like, shit, man, this seems like a dark story. And yeah, from there, I was kind of hooked. And it's sad that was like one of the main drivers of this film, of like seeing the darkness of what goes on scenes of wrestling to begin with.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, seeing like you said, like seeing the brothers play football together, and like being like there was like a whole tribe of wolves like being brought up in this kind of tough way of being brothers, and under, you know, their father having a high standard on them and really trying to live up to that.
Yeah.
And I do like that at least like the brothers were like also like try to pick each other up every time like one of them will fall down. Like you could tell they had like a tight bondship in that kind of way. Like,
right.
Even when they would disagree with each other, they'd be like, you know, man, it's not worth it. It's like, they will always like encourage each other. Like, when one of them do better than the other, they'd be like, oh man, you did a good job. Like, I like seeing that. Like, it showed like very honorship between those two,
right.
Between all, even like the one brother, the musician, you know, like you've seen like him, like he was like the one odd one out. He went off to, you know, become like part of a band.
Mike,
you could see that he was trying to strive for that kind of career and becoming a musician. I was like, oh man, and that's interesting to see that dynamic and to see. I don't think that the father initially really had a problem with it until like later on in the story, like seeing that when I think it was Curry that got into that accident on the motorcycle and he had to replace him. But it seemed like they was fine with him being a musician, but it seemed like after some point of him starting to become into the industry with his other brothers and the wrestling, it seemed like it kind of went downhill for him as well.
He was kind of like roped into it because of the death of David. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. And it's kind of like a chain effect in a way, because like when one brother would drop off, the other ones would be affected by that, and they would go into a deep depression as well. And it's just like, when one of them falls, like all of them and it seemed like Kevin was like the glue that kept them all together at one point. But then after some time, it's no use of keeping them all together. It was hard. It's a tough situation. Seriously, right. It's unfortunate that it played out like that. But especially seeing how tight they were all together too. And it's a very character piece of looking into it, like a family that all had like somebody to go down the lineage of and follow that path, but some of them even like the main character, Kevin, he seemed like even after a while, like every time he get like lowballed, he'd be like, man, you could just see it in his face, the way he's betrayed by Zac Efron. Like, it's like he was like, man, is it even worth being in this industry? That's kind of what the feel you would get from him sometimes, just looking at his character expression and like the way he would move. And like even when he started to have a family, it's like, damn, is this even worth to stay in this kind of industry? It's right. I could tell he probably wanted to be out more earlier than what his father wanted him to be. And he was trying to sell it at some point, and his dad got pissed off. And yeah, it was rough. And
right.
And like you said, it's not all to do to what his father had to do with that, but he unfortunately played a part in that. But it's part of the game. It's like once you're in the industry, it's hard to get out.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. It's like any just music during that time. It's like also with any kind of entertainment, you know, right. Especially something starting that will eventually lead into the WWE, because you will see like famous wrestlers like Ric Flair in there make cameos, and like a lot of those wrestlers came from the NWA to eventually go into the WWE, and like that's where it all really started. So it's like to see where this famous family started and like the pinnacle of wrestling, and then you know unfortunately comes down, even it ends before the WWE begins. It's like, yeah. Wow, damn, this man, it's really rough, but it's a really well told story of like seeing our family.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I feel like it was told in such a great story. Like we got a chance to see like all the angles from them training to be the best to being the best to then, you know, coming to an end. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, it was such a small time frame because most of these men, they were still young, man. They didn't even make it past the 70s, some of them. You know what I mean?
So
that was such an unfortunate kind of, like I said, like circumstances, like it was fucked up. You know what I mean? And you even had like, I seen a couple of posts on Twitter actually from A24, and it's like, you know, I had a couple of people that was on Twitter and saying like, yo, you had grown men in the theater kind of crying and shit, or grown women, you know what I mean? Like just having people, because it was that touching. Like, I think the saddest part was, I think it was Mike, man, when he, you know, got, you know, somehow that was, I don't know how it works. I don't know how the human body works, but I don't know how he managed to, you know, get like some sort of brain injury from a shoulder break, like, you know, from hurting his shoulder. So it was like,
yeah,
how?
Yeah, I didn't believe they said like in that hospital scene or showing like what was like the condition he was in. They said I had a lot to do with like the spinal cord, or like the shockwave throughout his body kind of affected his nervous system and his brain
said like they said the odds were like really low, like that, like that's never happened before, like that's what that was like, yeah. One of like in a billion kind of moment, like, you know what I mean,
like very rare for somebody,
yeah,
to get,
yeah, yeah.
Like with the odds, again, it comes back to that curse. There was this ongoing thing that's going on through the movie. It's like the name of this family. It's like, why is this all happening? That's what Kevin says at some point when he's talking to his wife. It's like, it just keeps on happening. It's like, how, you know? And even at one point, like, he's like trying to stay distance away from his wife and his baby, because he's like, I don't want to pass this on to you guys because it feels like I'm cursed, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn. It's like his wife is like struggling with that because she's like, what are you talking about? You're supposed to be taking care of your child. It's like,
yeah, it was hard. Like it was definitely hard for any man to try to do. I mean, listen, your first rule of thumb is, you know, obviously you got to take care of your family. But he also had another family, too. Like, you know, that the love for his brothers was like real deep to him. Not saying like his kid and his firstborn child wasn't, or, you know what I mean, his wife wasn't. I'm just saying like this was the brothers played a big importance in their lives. You know what I mean? So when he lost them, it just felt like he was lost. I mean, I think anybody would probably feel that way. You know, I think anybody would feel that way about that. Like if you lost a dear sibling to sibling, best friend, you know what I mean? These things are family. They're like a part of you. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like when you lose them, you're like, fuck, you lost a piece of yourself, right? Like,
exactly. It's like your other half of you. It's like literally you ate, breathed, and slept in the same place for years. And some scenes he would just be like, I don't know where that place was. I think it was just like an office, like they were, they would have meetings or something, but you would just see him crawled up on the floor because he
that was the dad's like business. That was the gym. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you would just see him crawled up on the floor, just crying himself to sleep in the dark, and he didn't want to go home. He wanted to avoid passing it on to his family. I'm like, damn, that's really psychological trauma.
And that's what it is. That's what this whole movie is about. It's just like actual, the psychology in this movie was like real. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like that's what we needed to really take away from was like, you know, how rough the dad was on them, how they had to, they're pushing their limits or, you know what I mean? Like, they just felt like they couldn't really save, like some of them felt like they couldn't save themselves in that moment where you had Curry, you know, doing mad drugs. David trying to be, you know, the best fighter for his dad to look up to, you know what I mean? Like, or even the same thing with Kevin, like the same thing with Kevin. Mike wanted to do his own thing, but you know, he just couldn't because his parents didn't really allow him to. Like, I feel like a lot of this has to do with this, the psychological aspect of things, like, you know,
right.
And it was just unfortunate, like how it panned out. You know, I felt bad for the mom mostly because I feel like the mom had to, like, I mean, man, I tell you, man, that's got to be rough. Watch both your sons. I mean, all four of your sons, like what? Yeah, four, right? Because I think even the first one that passed away.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, we don't really see too much of her throughout the movie, but like some of the sadder scenes we see her, unfortunately, in each funeral. But it's like she's like known to be like the religious type of the family.
Yeah,
like
she was very.
That's, I think that's one of the things they described her as in the beginning of the film. It's like they said she's like really. She's like the religious, every time like when one of the sons would have a problem, she's like the religious person to go to for his dad to solve a problem to. And the dad was problems through wrestling, and that's like his discipline way of like getting through things. And sometimes to his detriment, because, you know, sometimes Kevin would try to reach out to his father to try to help his brothers, and the dad would just be like, oh, you guys can handle it yourselves, you know, between you guys, you guys do it yourselves, you know.
And
it was rough. You could tell it was hard to communicate with to the dead outside of what wrestling was. And
yeah, but that's what it's like, that's why it just almost felt like it was never good enough. That's why the kids felt that way.
Yeah,
you know. But you know, that's the main thing to take away from this whole film, without being too harshly, because this is a real thing we're talking about here. That's why we're not saying anything that would, you know, hurt the actual, you know, the family's history or anything like that, of us, you know, talking bad about them or anything. But it's the main thing to really analyze in this film, right? Like, it's just the life that they had to live. Like, you know, like, it's rough.
Yeah. And it's not like the dad was, like, always a hard ass on the kids, you know. At some points, you see him be happy playing football with them and be like, oh, he's, you can see that he's like happy playing, seeing as a team. And it's like, I think the father was just coming at it, like he just wanted them to always be together as like holding the championship and holding that lineage that he had when he was in the NWA at some point.
Yeah.
It seemed like he wanted them to hold that and be proud of them in that kind of way.
Yeah, but was almost like what was the goal after they got the championship? Like when they got the heavyweight champion of the world, was it, you know, were they just gonna just own the belt and or just continue the sport? I mean, it's just so many questions to ask of like what would have been, what could have been, you know?
Yeah, because that's the thing about this artificial let's be honest. Everybody knows at this point. I mean, decades. It's like wrestling is not real, obviously. Well, at least not this entertainment version. It's more like a soap opera for guys, you know, yeah. Back then, especially a macho guy, you know, being able to take on that persona of a character and really like talk your shit while you're in the ring and, you know, really display your, they would actually, you know, hurt themselves in a kind of way, like they would slam themselves, but it wouldn't be the opposition.
Yeah, wouldn't be them getting punched in the face or anything like that. Like it was, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember I seen like a long time ago, I seen like a documentary on like the WWE behind the scenes, like even like the way they would bleed out, they would, before they would start the set, they would take razor blades and cut like their, slice their skin open with the blade. So that way, like when they do like tap their skin, the blood would leak out and it make it seem like they really are, you know, bleeding from whatever the impact was. So that's how much of a display of a show they're trying to put on to make it realistic as possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of it obviously was scripted and, you know, put on, and that's a lot comes to, they can't hold that championship because when there's a new wrestler that's coming along, they had to put on that person to make them seem like, you know, sellable to the audience. So you can't hold the championship forever unless, you know, it's written in your story of your, what they're trying to tell during that time. But yeah, it's an interesting thing to really observe, especially with it being like really artificial, seeing that like them trying to balance both put on an act but also trying to keep that standard of keeping that championship or keeping that your character in that light, because that's a lot of, it's kind of like the music industry in a way, like as long as you're entertaining, you can stay in the industry, but as soon as you're being put overshadowed by the new act or the new character you're that's done. Being displayed,
yeah,
you're put out. Yeah, so it's like the brothers had to keep on. I think that's why that one scene where I think it was his brother Curry, he took the mic from Kevin and he was trying to, because you could tell like Kevin's character wasn't really a good
like a shit talker
speaker when it comes to, because at one point he had to talk in front of the camera after he won like one of the belts, and he had to shit talk to the camera to one of the kids, but he had to keep taking these multiple takes because he kept messing up, and Curry was kind of laughing at him. He's like, yo, you want to do this? Because you're over here talking shit in the background, but you can tell he's not the outspoken one out of all the brothers versus like Curry. He's like more of a over that persona of putting on that character more or less for the audience. So it's like, you need that when it comes to like this entertaining NWA side of wrestling. You need that persona. And it's a crazy industry, but if you really like stand back and look at it, just to see how the WWE is now, it's like, it can become really ridiculous at some points. It's like, all right, that's obviously not real with that, with what's going on, but okay. So but yeah, it's.
How would you rate it?
I'll probably give it an 8. It's really shit. Good.
That's pretty high for you.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the better movies this year. I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did, but it's like it really
moved. The story was good, bro. Like,
like emotionally, like it hit hard. It's like, damn, it almost had me at one point seeing some of the brothers go out. I'm like, damn, especially that ending scene where they show the brothers going off on the bull.
They just wanted to see each other so bad that, you know what I mean? I guess that's what they seen, their version of heaven. Yeah,
even at one point really it was like chilling when the mom was like getting ready for one of the boys' funeral, watching one of the sons win a championship, and you could see the ghost, the lingering of a ghost of one of the sons on the stairs watching with her, and she turns around and the ghost disappears, but for a split second, you'll see one of the brothers there. I was like, oh, damn, that's creepy. And that's kind of surreal to see. But yeah, it's It's definitely a real good movie. I'd say check it out. Even if you're not into wrestling, because I'm not really too into wrestling myself. Yeah. But
I don't think none of us on the podcast are.
Yeah, but like seeing that, like seeing the reality of this industry, it's like, and this family, just in general, it's a very interesting character piece, I'll say, to check out.
Yeah, I rated it 8 too. Yeah. Because it was just that good, like, you know, the way the story was told, the connection you have with each character, the cinematic scenes that kind of were shot. Like, I love the camera angles that they were using. The music was pretty good, too. So it was like a lot of things kind of connected with the audience, for sure, with this movie. So I'm going to go ahead and say like 8. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's another thing I forgot to mention, too. Yeah, the soundtrack was really good in this movie, too.
Yeah.
Really is fitting.
I think that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, like and really hit up 5 stars on Spotify and, you know, Apple Music if you can. Yeah, it really helps us out. And follow us if you really like the rest of our content on Spotify. And Apple Music and the rest of the streaming sites you can find us on. And that's about it.
We'll see you guys on the next one.
Peace.